Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Amen. Good morning, Dwell Church. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I love this church already. Like, I wish I lived around here because this would be my church. Y'all know how to worship in this house. Amen. God is so good, and I want to tell you a story this morning, and I want to honor the time that I've been given. So I want to tell you a story this morning. I'm going to start with my story. You see, this time last year, I resigned from the church that I was pastoring in. I had been pastoring for about 29 years. I started pastoring when I was a teenager, and I pastored for the past 29 years. And the church that I was in, I had been pastoring for 15 years. I was basically the executive pastor of the church. Mega church, 1,500 people, great church, great position, great title, great salary, great everything. You know, the whole package was there. But God began to ask me to do something different. God asked me to take an incredible leap of faith. He said, will you trust me with everything? Yes, God. Because Evangel, the church I was at, was never my source. It was my resource. There's a big difference. And so God said, will you now give up even the resource and let me be your source? And I said, of course, God. You know, when God asks the question, there's only one answer, right? The answer is yes. See, what had happened to me was 2 years or 3 years prior to that, the condition of the church became unacceptable to me. The condition of what I saw the church to be in America became unacceptable to me. See, I was born in fire. I know the move and the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw my first miracle when I was 9, and I was wrecked from that day on. I saw cancer gone. I saw AIDS healed. I've seen limbs grow. I've seen babies dead come back to life. And so being born in that, that being part of my DNA, the Church of America began to irk me. Watching what the church was began to create this holy discontent in my heart, where I said, this cannot be the church. What started happening to me even as a pastor was watching people come in broken, hurting, sick, on the brink of divorce, and leaving exactly the same way. I said, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. That can't be the church. And so God said to me, will you speak into that? Will you allow me to use you as an igniter to my church, to awaken my bride, to say it's time to be my church. It's time to wake up. So essentially, don't pastor one church. Help me pastor the church at large. And I said, yes, God. Because you have to understand something. There is a church that was built by Jesus. And that exists in the book of Acts. Jesus built that church. That church was built on his testimony, his resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that church, man, that church was something. That church had power. That church had anointing. That church was unapologetic about who they were. They had courage. They had boldness. They were fearless. But the church pre-pandemic in America, let's be real today, it didn't look anything like that. The church pre-pandemic looked nothing like the church Jesus built. That church was built by man. That church was built by man. And let me tell you something. God never asked us to build his church. He said, I'll build my church. I'll build it. We get the privilege to walk beside him as he builds it. But somehow the Church of America grabbed hold of it and said, we're going to build it. And we're going to make it really pretty. Come on. We're going to make it sound nice. We're going to make it look nice. We're going to make it acceptable. And the church that Jesus built started going further and further back. And we took the reins of the church and began to tell Jesus how to build his house. We began telling the Holy Spirit, hey, you got 5 minutes in the service. So if you can do whatever you're going to do between the announcements and the preaching, we'd appreciate it because we have an agenda. Can you imagine someone coming to your house and telling you what to do in your house? But that's what we did to God. We put him back and we took the reins and said, this is our church. We want to do it. See, the thing is this. Jesus gave us a clear mission statement. He said, go make disciples. That was the mission statement. Go make disciples. We changed that mission statement. We made it fill the house. We made it fill the house. At all cost, fill the house. We need a filled building so that we feel successful. So we stopped making disciples and we began to make consumers. And in order to fulfill our new mission statement, we had to change the message. We had to change the message. Because you're not going to get a room full of people that want to be challenged. So you have to change the message. So we soften the message. We stop talking about holiness. We stop talking about sin. We stop talking about repentance. We stop telling people, hey, knock it off. You're not allowed to sleep together before you're married. We stop saying these things because people might get offended and they might leave our building. And now we have a new mission statement and we failed because our buildings aren't filled. And you know what happened with that? The power left with it because we serve a holy God. And so the power walked out, and what church essentially became was a feel-good day. Come in for a good therapy session. Come in, hear some nice music, and feel better. I feel better. But you're not changed. You're not changed. We changed the message from come as you are to stay as you are. The true message is come as you are. Walk in the door any way that you are. Broken, sinful, destroyed. Walk in. But you're going to be challenged to change every day. Why? Because we love you. And so we made it this church pre-pandemic. And this is what it looked like. And it was so pretty and had all the bells and whistles. And you can find an activity for everybody. But there was no room for the Holy Spirit. There was no time for the altar. There was no time for praying for the sick. There was no time for calling out sin. There was no time for accountability. There was no time to be the church that Jesus built. And so God in his infinite wisdom allowed, didn't bring, but allowed a pandemic to come. Because he doesn't bring sickness. Let's make that really clear. He went to the cross to destroy sickness. He's not going to turn around now and use it. But because God works all things together for our good, he will use it for our good. And he stripped away all the pretty little things. He said, y'all messed this up. I need to take back my house. Because you guys have lost control. You are guests in my house. And he stripped away all the pretty little things, all the nice little things, did away with all the programs, and said, you got three things now. Worship, preaching, and prayer. Figure it out. That's it. I've taken away everything else. And he said, now that the doors are opening, what will the church look like? Because this is the deal. He went through great lengths to get our attention. We cannot go back to the pre-pandemic church, because that church failed. We got to call it what it is. It failed at doing the work of the ministry. It failed at being the church of Jesus Christ. That was a church built by man. David Cho, who's the pastor of the biggest church in the world in Korea, came to America 3 years. You know what he left saying? America has learned to do church without God. He was right. And now what God has done is he stripped away everything and said, am I enough? Am I enough? Am I enough? See, the church wasn't just given a mission statement. It was given a job description. It said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are in captive. That's the mission of the church. And God is saying now, and I want to speak a little prophetically, so I want you to hear me this morning. God is saying now, I am beginning to pour out my spirit over people that are hungry for my spirit. I am beginning to open up the windows of heaven to bring a rain of revival over my people because everything else has been stripped away and they are saying, I am enough. I am enough. And I'm going to begin to rain it down on them. And I want to tell you, this revival that's coming, that God is bringing, it is not about a church. It's not going to be about Dwell or this one now. It is going to be about a people, a movement from within every church, every denomination is going to begin to rise up and say, you are enough, Jesus. And that move of his spirit, that move of his spirit, that revival, you're going to see Catholics baptized in the Holy Spirit, laying hands on the sick. You're going to see every denominational line crossed, every single one, because it's not about, listen, the superstar church is over. It's over. There's only one superstar. His name is Jesus. We are all servants of the house. Okay, we are all servants. I just happen to hold a mic. They happen to hold mics as well to sing, but we're all servants. He's the superstar. That's shattering. The mega church is shattering. It's not about this anymore. It's about, hear me, this grassroots, dirty nailed people who have been in the trenches, in the back room, on their knees, seeking God, pressing in. Those are the people. They're not going to be the prettiest. They're not going to sound the best, but they are going to be filled with fire in their belly. They're going to be filled with the presence of God in their belly. It's going to be a different people. It's going to be the people that maybe everyone else rejected. But God said, them, right there. I am enough for them. And he's going to pour out his spirit. And he's going to do a work. Because this next move has one component. I want you to hear it. It's an unapologetic church. Mark that word in your spirit. Unapologetic. We have been apologizing for the gospel for years. We've been apologizing for the gospel. Almost like we're ashamed. I don't want to muddy the waters. I don't want to make anybody upset. But we've upset God. I don't want anybody to be offended, but God is offended. God is offended. I don't want to, you know, I don't know. No, you do know. You don't want to do it. You do know you don't want to do it. Yeah, yeah. And this revival is going to be marked by an unapologetic people saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of a life of holiness. I am not ashamed of calling sin, sin. I am not ashamed of walking in righteousness. I am not ashamed of the miraculous. I am not ashamed of leaning on the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed. I will speak into the darkness with truth. I will speak into the midst of everything that's happening with truth. Yes. And God will do a work that we can't imagine, that we don't understand. Because he's looking for a people that are willing to be unapologetic about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That are willing to be unapologetic for living righteously. That are willing to speak when everyone else is laughing and saying, oh no. I know, and I am persuaded of whom I serve today. It's looking for a people. And I want to tell you, this next piece, and I'm going to go right there. This next piece that's coming is a move of the Spirit of God like none of us have ever seen. There is going to be an outpouring of the miraculous, and God needs some people that are willing to engage the miraculous. I shared a story with Nicole, and I'm going to end with this story. Anna, who you guys know, my little girl over there, she was living with me at one point, and I do a vacation Bible school at the time for over 1,000 children, 300 volunteers-ish. I don't do it anymore, but it was my 15 years that I was there, that was my deal, and I had bought a new house the day before the VBS started, because I'm crazy, and so I moved in. And then I went the whole week, and we came to the Friday, and we were rushing out because we were late, and I accidentally double locked the garage. And I said, oh, I don't even have the keys to this. I was like, you know what, Anna, let's just go. We'll come back tonight. We'll go through the front door. So we run to church. We come back. Of course, we went out to dinner, blah, blah. It's 1:30 in the morning. We come back. We come to the front door, and I look at the screen door, and I go, I don't have the key for this either. Now what do I do? So Anna goes, oh, I'm going to go look at the windows. I said, girl, I'm from New York. There's no window open. There's nothing open. It's all dead bolted. There ain't nothing open. So I look at the door, and I say, you know what? I'm going to break the handle on the screen. So I put all my force on the handle, and I can't open it. It's not attached to the lock. It's just decorative. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. It's one through, who am I calling? What do I do? And I lifted up my hands, and I just said, Lord, Anna's standing right beside me. Lord, I need you. I don't know what to do. And before my eyes and Anna's eyes, we watched the lock on the other end turn by itself. Turn by itself and push out on us. And we both stared at each other, and Anna goes, did that just happen? I said, girl, some angel turned that lock. She goes, are you sure? I said, there's one way to find out. And I pulled the door open. And this is what I wanted to share with you. As I pulled the door open, I heard the Holy Spirit, the same way you hear my voice right now, say, there is no door I cannot open. When I want to open up a door for my children, there is no lock, there is no deadbolt, there is no chain that will keep me from opening a door for my child. When I want to make a way for my children, I will make a way. And I want to tell you that this revival that we're getting ready for is going to be marked by people that are willing to walk that supernaturally and say, I got nothing but you, Jesus, make a way. I am unapologetic for depending on you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.